At Harrison's Landing, Pinkerton and McClellan showed their vindictive side to a clerk in the detective service named Thad Sabold, who took down the statements of war prisoners. Sabold was thrown into a filthy jail for sending letters to Seward, critical of the general and his spy chief. Pinkerton accused the clerk of leaking secrets to the rebels, and McClellan ordered him held in isolation. A later investigation by Levi Turner, the Army's special judge advocate, concluded the charge was false. Sabold was an honest clerk, brutally and unfairly persecuted for leaking to Seward the poor state of McClellan's command and Pinkerton's intelligence service. Lincoln sailed up the James River aboard the Ariel on July 8th to confer with McClellan and his corps commanders and assess for himself the condition of the Union Army. McClellan's suspicious strength reports now had 45,000 men missing beyond the casualties that could be accounted for. Lincoln did not have enough time in the 3 hours he walked and rode among the soldiers to count the number of troops McClellan actually had, but he did find morale among the rank and file far better than he expected. McClellan remained as uncommunicative as ever about his plans for renewing the campaign. Sitting on the deck of the Ariel, he did hand Lincoln what amounted to a political memo he drafted for how the president should run the war and the country. Remarkable chutzpah for a general who had lost so many battles. There has been unconfirmed speculation that Pinkerton helped McClellan compose the letter. Lincoln read the note quickly, thanked McClellan, and pocketed it without saying another word. The first thing the president did when he returned to Washington on July 11th was make Henry Halleck the general-in-chief of the army. A balding, pot-bellied, and scholarly officer who had excelled at West Point, authored books on strategic theory, and was called Old Brains behind his back, Halleck had been summoned to the federal capital from his command of the Mississippi River Theater. He had rather circumscribed rules for espionage, which helps explain why he fumbled valuable intelligence he received as a Western commander. A general, Halleck once wrote, could rightfully buy information or accept the services a spy offered. But a general could not seduce a person to commit an act of treachery toward an enemy, such as espionage, which would make that person a felon and subject to a felon's death. Even information a spy freely volunteered was likely of little value, Halleck believed. Such information was unreliable, he said, and most spies sold to both sides.